Viel Spaß euch bei der nächsten Performance Talk und Panel and welcome AfG Activist Collective. Let's go.
آسمانی است که آویختن پرده ای آن را از من میگیرد. سهم من پایین رفتن از یک پله متروک است و به چیزی در پوسیدگی و غربت واصل گشتن. سهم من گردش حزن‌آلودی است در باغ خاطره ها. و در اندوه صدایی جان دادن که به من میگوید
گوشواری به دو گوش هم می آویزم از دو گیلاس سرخ همزاد و به ناخونهایم گل کوکب می چسبانم.
و عنوان
به عنوان
فردی از نسل جدید،
فردی از نسل جدید،
نسل آگاه،
نسل آگاه
و نسل خسته
و نسل خسته
از تیر و باروت و تفنگ،
از تیر و باروت و تفنگ
به خود،
به خود
و تمام
و به تمام
ناملایمات زندگی،
ناملایمات زندگی
تسلیم نشده،
تسلیم نشده
برای یک،
برای یک
جامعه کوشا،
جامعه کوشا
مقتدر،
مقتدر
آزاد،
آزاد
و آگاه،
و آگاه
بیش از هر کسی،
بیش از هر کسی
تلاش خواهم کرد،
تلاش خواهم کرد.
Als Angehörige der neuen Generation, der bewussten Generation, einer Generation, die der Schüsse, des Schusspulvers und des Gewehrs überdrüssig ist, verspreche ich mir und meinen Kameraden, dass ich niemals wegen der Widrigkeiten des Lebens aufgeben werde. Ich werde mich mehr als jeder andere für eine engagierte, mächtige, freie und bewusste Gesellschaft einsetzen. ما آرزو دارم مکتب برم.
I want to be a teacher.
I wish go to university.
I want to go to school.
I wish to be a dancer.
I want to choose wife what I want to buy beer.
I wish married by everyone I choose.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Schamlose Frauen!
زبان باز کنم از چه بخوانم، من که منفور زمانم، چه بخوانم چه نخوانم، چه بگویم سخن از شهر که زهر است بکامم، وای از آن مشت ستمگر که به کوبیده دهانم، نیست غمخوار مرا در همه دنیا که بنازم، چه بگریم چه بخندم، چه بمیرم چه بمانم،
من آن بینه ضعیفم که زهر باد بلرزم، دخت افغانم و برجاست که دائم بفقانم، یاد آن روز گرامی که قفص را بشکافم، سر برونم از این ازلت و مستانه بخانم،
من و این کنج سارت غم ناکامی و حسرت، که عبد سادم و مو بباید بردهانم، دانم ای دل که بهاران بود و موسم عشرت من پر بسته چه سازم که پریدن نتوانم گرچه دیریست خموشم نرود نغمه زیادم زان که هر لحظه به نجوا سخن از دل برهانم من آن
بیده ضعیفم که زهر باد بلرزد دخت افغانم و برجاست که دائم مفقانم یاد آن روز گرامی که قفس را بشکافم سر برون آدم از این ازلت و مستانم بخانم
من آن
بیده ضعیفم که زهر باد بلرزد دخت افغانم و برجاست که دائم بفغانم یاد آن روز گرامی که قفس را بشکافم سر برون آرم از این ازلت و مستانم
Silence. Why is the word silence?
Silence. Why is the word silence?
The international community still doesn't recognize the Taliban. The sanctions are killing people through the hunger crisis. Whilst there are people out there trying to normalize them, showing a false image and pretend that things are getting better. We are not your muse. We are not just numbers. Geopolitics means that our community is under attack due to the interests of this location and natural resources. We are being internormalized for an ongoing war dividing the people on the ground pretending this is civil. 20 years of war to replace the Taliban with the Talib. Those were your working hours. Accountability means going against the military in structural compacts and stopping the white savior mentality. Silence. Why is the word is silent?
Silence. Why is the word silence?
Our Afghan sisters are imprisoned, locked away and silenced, facing guns in their face. They will still go and fight for their rights. We need your awareness, your solidarity, and your support as your voices are silenced. Break the silence.
Break the silence.
Break the silence.
To my silent sisters around the world whose struggles are not in the limelight, we feel you, we hear you, we see you. Break the silence.
Break the silence.
Break the silence.
Break the silence. To my sister around the world whose struggles are instrumentalized, we feel you, we hear you, we see you. We are united in our operation. Solidarity has no borders. Together we fight against the patriarchy. Silence. Why is the word silence?
Silence. Why is the word silence?
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So this was the Afghan Activist Collective with their theater piece, Break the Silence. A big round of applause, please, again, for them. I hope they hear it. So now I have the honor, we're going to have a talk. So this is going to be mainly, vielleicht ganz kurz auf Deutsch, das war das Afghan Activist Collective. Wir werden jetzt eine kleine Diskussionsrunde haben, die wird auf Englisch stattfinden, teilweise auf Farsi. Wir werden versuchen, das Ganze ein bisschen zu übersetzen, ad hoc, und ein bisschen Deutsch wird auch dabei sein, also please bear with us. falls ihr Übersetzung braucht, da vorne sind Mikrofone, beziehungsweise Übersetzungsmikrofone, Deutsch-Englisch leider nur. Dann würde ich sagen, fangen wir auch schon an. Then let's start. So, first of all, thank you for being here. This is very, very important because this piece is not called Break the Silence without a reason, obviously. Really quickly, introduction to the Afghan Activist Collective. They're mostly based in Berlin. They're comprised of activists, as the name already says, of individuals that either work in the humanitarian sector, nonprofit, but also are just very deeply affected of what is going on in Afghanistan. And they're an advocacy group raising awareness on the situation for the people in Afghanistan currently and everything that has been anyway going on for the last decades, unfortunately. So I have the honor, we have here three people that are going to explain to us a bit more, get a bit deeper into what is going on, what has been going on, and what should we do to break the silence, basically. We're first gonna have a quick talk, and afterwards there's gonna be 10 minutes of question and answer also from the audience. So I'm pleased to welcome all of you. Thank you for being here. So first of all, we have here Bibi Saida. She was a rock climber in Afghanistan. And she was actually evacuated 2 years ago, so in August 2021, when the Taliban retook, basically, Afghanistan and Kabul. So then we have Nargis. She's a fierce advocate and activist for women's rights in Afghanistan. And then we have Sajid, who has been also an activist and working in and out of Afghanistan in the humanitarian and educational sector. So thank you for being here. Quick round of applause for these amazing people, please. So I would like to first start off with Bibi Saida. You have been very much affected of the changes 2 years ago in Afghanistan because you were one of the people that were evacuated. So would you like to share your experience with us, please?
Yeah, sure. Hi, good afternoon. I'm Bibi Saida Sadat. I can say in English all of that, but because it's like around 1.5 years that I'm in Berlin, and it's like in these 2 weeks I have a lot of depression and full of stress. That's why I would like to share in Persian. Then my friend Sajid can translate it for you. پانزه اگست سال 2021 بود که طالبا کابل گرفت و روزی بود که من در دفتر کار میکردم. فقط دفتن خبر آمد که طالبا نزدیک شدند در پل سرخ و باید همه اوراقی که وجود داره را باید آتش بزنیم.
It was 15th of August 2021 when I was working at the office in Kabul, and then the news suddenly came up that the Taliban took over the city and we have to burn all the documents existing in our offices.
و ما چون کسایی بودیم که اولین کوهنوردای افغانستان بودیم و دختر بودیم کلگی ما پشت لباس دراز میگشتیم پشت چادر میپالیدیم و ای که رنگ ناخونای ما رو پاک کنیم ناخون خود بگیریم برای ما گفته شده بود که اگر همین لحظه تخلیه نکنین امکان داره که بیاین و بگیرن و نمیفهمون چه اتفاق خواهد افتاد که شما
So we were the first group of female rock climbers in Afghanistan. And when the Taliban took power, we were told, we were running around to find scarf and to find, according to Taliban, proper clothes to wear them. And we were told that if they find us, we would be killed, or what would happen, we don't know. And we even tried to clean our nail polishes.
ای او شب گذشت ولی ما نتونستیم که از دفتر بیرون برایم و بیایم طرف خانه چون کل جای مردم افتاده بود و طالبا میگفته بیرون است ولی ما بیرون نرفته بودم نه هنوز ندیده بودم و ما فقط کلا میگیم ما زیر تکوی دفتر پوت شده بودیم او شب ما گشنه سپری کردیم و شب بعدیش به ما اطلاع رسید که باید هر چه زودتر افغانستان ترک کنین و بیاین میدان هوایی
So it was the night where we couldn't go back to home from offices, so we stayed in the basement of our offices, and we were not aware of what is going on around the cities. So we spent the night in the office, and then the next night we were told that we have to, as soon as possible, leave the country.
ما بدون از اینکه به چهار خواهر خود فکر کنم و به مادرم و به پدرم ما فامیل ما فامیلی است که ما بچه نداریم و همگی ما دختر بودیم و ما مانده بودم بین انتخاب این طرف و این طرف ولی مجبور بودم باید ترک کنم کشور بالاخره ما ترک کردم کشور آمدم و سه ماه همه در ابوظبی منتظر ماندم
So I come from a family where we don't, where we do not have any men. I have sisters and my mother, and that's it. And I was in a very difficult situation to choose between my family and leaving the country. So I had to leave the country, and I was, of course, worried about my family. What's going to happen to them? So I had to leave the country, and I was for 3 months staying in Abu Dhabi.
من نه تنها کشور را ترک کردم ما تحصیل ما ترک کردم ما مکتب ما ترک کردم ما وظیفه ما ترک کردم ما نقاشی ما ترک کردم ما ورزش ما ترک کردم ما بایسکل ما ترک کردم ما میتونم بگم که ما یعنی صفر کردم نمیفهمم ولی ما همه چیزی ما ترک کردم جایی که ما پادشاه بودم یعنی افغانستان برای ما ساخته شده بود من اونجا رشد کرده بودم من اونجا رسیده بودم من اونجا برای راه زنها تلاش کرده بودم زنها میتونست بایسکل بدوانن یعنی زنها میتونست حتی بدون چادر سرک بیرون چه و کس چیزی نمیگفتک ولی دفعتا همه چیز همه زحمت ها صفر شد یعنی مثل خاک شد رفت
I did not only leave my country, I left my university, my school, my art, my paintings. I left hitchhiking, I left my sport. I left family in Afghanistan was built for me. I felt like a queen there. And before the Taliban took power, I felt like people were even taking out their scarf on the street, whatever they were doing, they were still fine. But I had to leave everything behind.
من میفهم تصور مردم خارجی است که افغانستان یک کشور خراب شده و جنگ دیده بوده و هسته ولی نبود افغانستان در 20 سال کاملا تغییر کرده بود
I understand that people who come from outside Afghanistan they think that Afghanistan is a backward country or suffered war but Afghanistan in the past 20 years has changed a lot
یک و نیم سال است من در جرمنی زندگی می کنم در برلین با فامیلم یک جای همین جا هستم ولی من یک و نیم سال است که استرس دارم من یک و نیم سال است که دیگه نتونستم دانشگاه برم ادامه بدم من یک و نیم سال است که دو بار در بیایس ناکام ماندم من یک و نیم سال است که من از کلاب تکواندو کشیده شدم که چطور جرمنی یاد نداری با اینکه من کمربند سیاه دنیک دارم من یک و نیم سال است که من هنوز دست پنجه نرم میکنم که نامه همه چیز من یاد بگیرم ولی نمیشه
It has been 1.5 years that I've been living in Berlin, and I couldn't, because of the stress and the depression that I've had, I couldn't continue my studies. I failed twice in the B1, the German language. I was taken out of the Taekwondo, whatever you call
class.
It, yeah, class.
Yeah.
Like for just because I couldn't speak German.
I think this is a very good example of German integration policies, very much of how Germany treats newcomers.
They are told me you need to if you want to study in English, you have to have a like. A, TOEFL degree, at least B1 or like something like that. And then I say, okay, I have my TOEFL degree, but it's like from like 2 years ago, and now it's hard for me to have again TOEFL degree or like to stay and to learn. And to it's like a very hard thing with me. It's happening from Afghanistan, but it's very hard now. You know, nobody is understand this. But
and you've been a very accomplished person. You had a life in Afghanistan. You had a fairly good life
yeah,
in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I told, like, because the outside of the people, they are thinking, like, Afghanistan is not a good country, not a safe country, but no, then during that 20 years, it's like a completely safe country, because I was working with the foreign people, and the foreign people, they are very easy without a scarf, like with one t-shirt, they come outside, and but nobody has tell them anything.
So, thank you so much for sharing your experience, for sharing your individual, like, your story, that's very powerful, I think. I think a lot of people will take that with them because you raised
some... One thing that I want to say, every time I say in every place, I told them, like, if one day, I hope one day, Afghanistan is become like in the past time, and for sure I promise I will go back to Afghanistan and I will work back for the women. And I will make again the way that still that I know this way is not dear. That I will, I was the one of the girls that I was start the bicycle on that place. I was start the mountaineering. I was start the painting. I was start the taekwondo, everything. I know if I'm going back again, I need to start it from the beginning. But this beginning is more powerful for this beginning that I'm here.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your words. She raises some really, really good points. Give it up for her. So, again, tashakkur bisyozat. She raises really good points about life of Afghan women specifically and how this has been affected, how this has changed over the years, and specifically the last 2 years. So I would like to ask Nargis, on the situation of Afghan women and how this whole power dynamics that has changed, what does it mean? What does it mean for Afghan society, for women, but also maybe like for women abroad, like in solidarity, please. She's gonna speak in German, so if you wanna have the translation, please grab it now.
I don't speak German. So.
No, that's fine. I could translate too, but I think it's fine. I think most of the people understand German.
Okay, also wir wissen, dass Afghanistan im Jahr 2021 eines der tragischsten Ereignisse der Welt erlebte und ein Desaster, das fast direkt 40 Millionen Menschen betraf. Ein Desaster, das all die Träume der Mädchen und Frauen zerstört hatte. Und Afghanistan, das seit 20 Jahren lang, wie Bibi Said es auch gesagt hat, es geschafft hat, neue Wege zu schaffen, neue Entwicklung und neue Gesellschaft auszubauen, gerät einfach in den Händen der Taliban, in den Händen eines der größten terroristischen Gruppen. Aber am 15. August 2021 verloren Frauen auch all ihre Träume. Und an diesem Tag nahmen die Taliban afghanische Frauen das Recht auf Wahl- und Rederecht. Und seit ungefähr 640 Tagen könnten die Mädchen immer noch keine Schule besuchen. Und das ist ein Desaster. Und Frauen, die nun einfach in die unbekannte Welt schauen und gar keine Zukunftsperspektive haben.
Danke dafür. Ich glaube, hier ist nochmal ganz wichtig anzumerken, dass Afghanistan derzeit eines der wenigen Länder auf der Welt ist, in denen Mädchen nicht zur Schule gehen dürfen. Ob sie es können, wegen Infrastruktur und so, ist nochmal eine andere Geschichte, aber sie dürfen es auch nicht, was ganz klar auch ja, eine Menschenrechtsverletzung ist. I'll switch back to English. So we've heard that in the past 20 years, women could become rock climbers, could go to Taekwondo classes and everything. But this all came to a very specific cost, because if we look back at the past 20 years, it was a very fragile construct, because within days, it was possible for the US and Germany and the so-called Western allies just to leave, and for the Taliban basically just to take everything from the weapons that they left behind, from the trash that they left behind, from the power that they left behind. So this was a very fragile construct. So Sajid, my question to you then, could you please explain to us what happened in the past 20 years? Why did it all go down south, basically?
Thank you so much for coming here and listening to us. Even though it's a little bit powerful or strong or maybe. Yeah, but I think before talking about what happened the past 20 years, I would just like briefly talk about what happened during the Soviet Union time when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, just very briefly. So when the Soviet Union in 1979 invaded Afghanistan, that was a perfect time for the United States to intervene indirectly within Afghanistan. So what they did, there's not a proper exact number, but it's estimated that the U.S. has spent from $3 billion to $4 billion U.S. dollars on basically cultivating extremism in Afghanistan with the support of Pakistan and Saudi Arabia to fight against the Soviet Union. So they train these people, Mujahideen, Taliban, or whatever you call it, name it, to fight against the Soviet Union. Once the Soviet Union collapsed, Afghanistan was left with these warlords who were thirsty for power. So these people basically started killing each other. That caused lives of over a million Afghans within Afghanistan, and then the Taliban took power. 9/11 happened. After that, the United States invaded Afghanistan. So they had to, in the beginning, they had first the counter-terrorism goal within Afghanistan. That was their first goal, counter. So within the first year, they kind of almost eliminated Taliban from across Afghanistan. There were still very few in numbers in Afghanistan. And then after 1 year, they were like, okay, we are gonna come and bring like nation building, democracy, blah, 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 stuff like that. But their first biggest mistake or failure, I would call it, in Afghanistan was bringing those warlords back to power. And they are one of the main reasons for so many problems in Afghanistan. So they brought these warlords to power, give them the power, and give them a lot of money, which basically cultivated corruption in Afghanistan, and that and they started harassing normal citizens across Afghanistan. But besides that, What the United States did was also war crimes, which is not often shared on the media, especially at that time, unfortunately. But they used these drone strikes, and they went into houses of people without understanding the culture, the Afghan culture, without knowing how people live across Afghanistan. So they basically harassed so many people, killed so many people, and there was no attention to these victims. They were left behind. And of course, they were left behind, and they were like, who is there gonna give us justice? Because the government, of course, were full of corrupted people. So then at that time, Taliban started using them, brainwashing them, these young boys or families who were the victims. They were like, we are gonna give you weapon, we are gonna give you whatever you need, but you have to, if you want to take your revenge, you have to fight the United States in the Afghan army. So that's how the Taliban expanded slowly in Afghanistan. By the time, like 2012, the United States realized that, okay, the government is already corrupted. We cannot really do much with them to collaborate or to be ally with them to get rid of the Taliban. So what they did was to basically start to, they started talking with the Taliban behind the scenes. They started talking to the Taliban behind the scenes. And they had peace negotiations in 2017. And after that, basically, they came to this conclusion that they have to hand over Afghanistan because they can benefit more from Taliban than the previous Afghan government. So they basically handed Afghanistan to Taliban and left all the people who were hopeful for the future of Afghanistan. They left them all alone. And then in 2021, 15th of August, when the Taliban took power, Afghans in the airport who worked with the US Army, who worked with international organizations, they were treated basically like an object, basically. Women were thrown out of the walls, you know, because they were screaming that I'm in danger, you know, Taliban are gonna kill us. And then now Hollywood is making a movie about like how heroic our soldiers are or whatever, which is basically crap. So all these things combined, because it's also a very complicated topic,
yeah,
and there are
definitely
so many points. I cannot really specifically say what exactly, but there are so many different points that led to the Taliban to take power in Afghanistan.
I mean, I thank you very much for giving this very brief outline. I think it's very important to understand at least a bit of the history. Like, you can never know all of the history, but some context, and this is very important points that you raise, the Western intervention or the relationship between the Western countries, mainly the US, but also Germany, since we are here in Germany, with Afghanistan, and how it affects directly the people at on the ground, because we currently have an economic crisis, we have a hunger crisis, a humanitarian crisis, basically, one of the worst in the world, next to the educational crisis that, yeah.
I just wanted to share one point, because
of course,
Afghanistan, within the past 20 years, was a poor country. Over $2 trillion were spent in Afghanistan. But they were just into the pockets of these corrupted leaders. Not just only that, but most of the money were used for military operations. And also the international organizations that donated or whatever started their projects, they basically gave a project to another local organizations led by these corrupted people, and they were giving that project to another one. So at some point, you know, for example, a water full of bucket would lead to a few drops in a cup, you know. So it was, this is how the money was basically, like, you know, not spent in Afghanistan.
So
for,
I mean,
the development.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for raising that point, because it obviously then raises the question, maybe as Germans or as people from those countries that were directly involved in the intervention in Afghanistan, where does your tax money go? Where does your donation money go, basically? Or where did it go at that time. So this is not necessarily meant to say not to donate anymore, but what's, maybe to wrap this up, what happened, but now we're in this situation, right? And we have seen the play. Women are still going out in the streets demonstrating for their rights. Men are going out in the streets demonstrating for their rights and for the women's rights. But what can we maybe, and with we, I mean the audience, also Germans basically, do? Because we don't want to have another, I think it was 2001, the whole slogan of, we're going to Afghanistan to rescue the Afghan woman, because the Afghan woman as such doesn't need to be rescued, because Afghan women can stand up for themselves. But what would be basically, what can we give the audience as, what should you do? How can you get involved?
Maybe from there.
Für mich, vor allem für meine Generation, ist es schwer zu verkraften und zu realisieren, dass unser Land einen großen Rückschritt in den alten und grauen Zeiten macht. Und deswegen brauchen wir halt eure Solidarität und wir brauchen eure Unterstützung. Von daher ist halt meine Botschaft, dass ihr Afghanistan nicht vergisst und man sollte halt darüber reden. Bitte informiert euch darüber, liest Bücher vielleicht oder teilt halt Beiträge, aber vergisst Afghanistan nicht.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I will, you know, I worked as an activist and I worked not just only in Afghanistan, but in other countries, you know, to my entire goal in my life has been to help people. And I stand by that. So for me, the most important thing is first we have to think that we are human beings. And as human beings, we should have to take care about each other. Doesn't matter where you come from. Thank you so much. So my message to everyone here and to people who might see us or watch us at some point is that first of all, if you don't know much about Afghanistan, please try to learn what is the situation there, you know. Or if you know someone, please be a little bit more curious of what is happening. Try to ask them questions. And with that, you have to at least put some pressure on the governments, you know, like the where you come from, at least put some pressure, because most of the Western countries, they were involved in Afghanistan, and they, I think more than good, they have done bad, to be honest, in Afghanistan. So from your side, you can at least put some pressure on your governments to see, to tell them what is the situation or how is the situation in Afghanistan for Afghan women. You know, it's horrible. It's very horrible. So I think besides, you know, I never like ask for people to donate or whatever, but at least in your power, try to learn, try to be aware of what is going on in Afghanistan and push your governments to not be involved, especially in recognizing the Taliban, to fight them. Thank you.
I would quickly also add, when it comes to policymakers and putting pressure on them, not only about the recognition of the Taliban, but also on how you actually treat Afghans, refugees and asylum seekers, but also the people that still are waiting to be evacuated. It has been now 2 years, and a lot of people still are in Afghanistan in danger because they have worked with the German government, worked with institutions such as GIZ, and they still haven't heard anything, and they still live under fear, despite even in the past years working for those governments and putting their lives already then on the line, but now it's like even worse. But
just sorry, one point just to mention, because it's very important. People, I think, especially in Europe, in the US, it's very important who you give platform to. And this is the problem that Afghans have been suffering in the past 20 years or the past 40 years, that the international community, they oftentimes give platform to people who are corrupted and who are, you know, warlords and wars and so much of war crimes. So yeah, you can at least also put pressure on your government to at least not invite those people who are there just for their own personal interest, not for the interest of Afghan people.
Thank you. Bibi Saideh, did you want to add something? Sorry.
I just only think that I can say, also the same idea that Sajjad told, I also have the same idea. Just only thing that I want to add it, it's for Afghan people. I want to say like, we are here, now we are in the safe place, everything is okay for us. We do not forget, we cannot forget the other people that they are still in Afghanistan. They need us, especially the girls, especially the women. And everything is closed for them. Like when we want to learn something here, think about them also, how we can teach them or how we can like transfer this knowledge for them, that also they have this knowledge from us. Well, if they are grow up with the closed mind, that I cannot imagine like how it will be Afghanistan in 2 or 3 years in the future. Like it will be like all the women also will be stand up on like behind the Taliban and they will support them. It's like the woman is more have a more power, and I know the Taliban don't know like how much the women have a power. Or maybe they know, that's why they like make it hard for the situation, make it hard for the women. That's why I'm saying like please. Like think about this, like how we can help them and how we can transfer every knowledge, everything that we have from here to them, that they also have a they also be a open mind, and they also can like to know where is the world and where is the world we are like where the other people they are going. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah, of course. I think that's a very good point. Transfer knowledge, solidarize, but also like amplify their voices, right?
Yeah.
Because as you said, Afghan women are strong. They have a voice, they are there. You just need to listen to them and see them and actually, acknowledge
them. One thing
them.
In Afghanistan is like one sentence is we have, it's no problem how the mountain is higher, but the mountain have a way. Like, the situation in Afghanistan is also very hard and everything is closed for the women, but still some ways there. Like, we can find, it's like, just we need to search it or like to try.
I like this, it's very hopeful. I think we're almost closing. Do you have any closing statements? Anything that you want to tell the audience? And otherwise we will start with like, question and answer, but if there's anything you want to tell the audience to not forget or to do, basically, like if you're all gonna go and have wonderful 4 or 5 days of fusion, but maybe once you come back being sober and safe in your home, you can maybe take away this panel and the panelists. So do you want to say something that they can remember on Tuesday or Wednesday?
I would just say that don't forget Afghanistan and Afghan women, you know. Countries basically come up with foreign policy, but of foreign policy of feminism, and I think feminism is not regional, it should be worldwide, you know, and we should, as human beings, support and keep supporting women, doesn't matter where they come from. Yes.
Do you want to say, or?
No, for me it's okay.
Yeah? Okay. Then thank you so much. A big round of applause for the panelists, really. They've been very honest and open and raw with you, so yeah, we're very grateful. Thank you so much, everybody. Olle, me person, again. Jetzt wäre im Prinzip offene Fragerunde, like an open question if you want to, if you have any questions left. Very quickly, you can follow the Afghan Activist Collective on Instagram. I think it's AFG Activist Collective, the handle. That would be a first step to familiarize with the situation. They're also occasionally playing in Berlin, having like organizing demonstrations. For example, Saturday at Akut, I think. Yes, I think so. Yes. So the floor is open now. If there is any question, yes. I don't know if you.
There's a mic.
There is a mic. Or yeah, okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your for sharing your experience and your knowledge with us. And my question goes towards, like you said, that the German government and the Western countries are involved. And there were a lot of comparisons between Afghanistan and Ukraine at that time. And since it's a very German-based audience and Germany is involved in many so-called conflicts or wars or whatever, so like I see now that the anti-war movement in Germany is as weak as we have ever seen it or as I have knowledge of. And there's a lot of pro-war input. There's a lot of discussions about how it's important to militarize more, to involve as a country or as NATO more. So for people from a country that goes a lot into war or supports wars, but is not directly affected, what would you like people to consider when they try to put pressure on their government?
I don't really have a direct answer. I think with the situation, I think in Europe and in the United States or Western countries, I think if you are against war, you should stand against your government. You know, like if you're against war, you should have to somehow stop and demonstrate, protest, or do something. I, as an Afghan, I cannot, to be honest, 100% give an exact answer because Afghans have been the victims, and we are. I'm so sorry to say this, but we have been talking for so long to do this, do that, and nobody listened to us. So I think it's really about the citizens of those countries to come up with ideas and solutions or whatever, or a movement, you know, to stop those countries from, because Afghanistan or other countries have been always the victim, you know, and we cannot offer something concrete. We just don't want war, and we don't want our people to be mistreated. We don't want our people to be left alone. Once you are so much involved in creating destruction there, it's not fair to just leave like that, you know. So I think it's about every citizens of Western countries or United States or wherever to first learn a lot about what their governments are involved in, and then secondly to stand against them. Yeah.
I think if I just quickly also may, I mean, yeah, I do understand like the comparison between Ukraine and Afghanistan, kind of like in Germany, like the whole discourse around it about going to war and not. But I think Sajid already mentioned as well, or said it plainly, we don't want any war in Afghanistan. So when we call upon you guys to put pressure on the government, on the German government, it's more about finding sustainable ways for Afghanistan, because there has been war going on for a long, long time, and it hasn't been fruitful at all. And as we know, there's still war going on in Ukraine, and it's almost 1.5 years, and there's no real end in sight. So drawing comparisons sometimes can be quite tricky, because it's a very, I think Afghanistan has a very specific context, and Ukraine as well. But when it comes to Afghanistan, we definitely say no war, like no intervention whatsoever, but empower people to actually, just as we are telling you to put pressure on the German government, Afghan people are putting pressure on whatever authorities, I don't want to call them government, but whatever authorities they have, by going out on the street and by showing this is not acceptable, this is not how we want to live. So I don't know if that answers your question. Thank you. We have another question.
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello.
I follow the situation in from Afghanistan in the news a bit, and I've read and about the humanitarian crisis, how people are starving and stuff, and I always ask myself, how can you like help those Afghan people and the situation in Afghanistan without like stabilizing the Taliban? Because every time like humanitarian organizations or government organizations try to like say, okay, we want to lift sanctions, when you give us a bit of like coming into our direction in topics of women's rights or whatever, and they don't move. The Taliban better let people starve, and I don't know, I feel it's so hopeless. I really liked seeing you here, but it's like, yeah, that's my question, how to get out of this.
Or do you? خب میتونی ترجمه کنی سوالش؟
خب میگه چی رقمی میتونیم که حالا مثلا وضعیت جلد افغانستان بسیار گرسنگی و چیزها زیاد است و وقتی که ما مستقیم از طریق
وضعیت سن گمز کنس we're just translating really quickly so she understands as well the question
دونیت میکنیم چی رقمی شاید پیستا و کلی چیزها و دست طالبان و چیزها دارستن و چی رقمی ما میتونیم که راه را پیدا کنیم از خاطر که مردم میمورن و باور کردن
One thing that I'm doing, still I teach painting for my students that they are still in Afghanistan, and they are those girls that they are attacked by Taliban in 2020 in Sayyid al-Shuhada High School. I still in contact with them and I teach them painting. But you know what, during this time, the Taliban, they're saying, those people that they are doing painting, they also need to give them to the painting breed, you know, that the painting become alive. They are thinking like this. They are saying like, now this is haram. You do not do this. But I'm not directly in contact with them. I cannot call them, and I also cannot use the Zoom meeting or blah, blah, like this kind of thing, because it's like very danger for them. I'm just text them and they just write me message, and we are just sharing the photo. This is the only thing that I'm doing and I can do from here for them. But I don't know from the other what's the like their idea or like how we can use. But I cannot do help them with the money like this. I cannot do that. But maybe we also have some other point that they can share with you guys that how.
Just 1 minute, because we don't have really time, but I think there are initiatives and organizations through which you can really donate. For example, one of them is Asil app, through which you can, and they independently work very neutral, helping Afghans around Afghanistan to tackle the humanitarian crisis. But of course, it's so big, over 90% of people are really below poverty rate and they require food and stuff like that. But there are independent organizations and initiatives through which you can, it of course depends on your personal research and stuff like that, you have to do that, or we can talk later that I can give you some information about that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think we only have like 2 minutes left or so.
We have two questions.
Okay, because I quickly wanted to add to that, because I think you're also talking from like a political perspective. Then it comes back to empowering the people on the ground in Afghanistan by donating, supporting the initiatives that they are also creating, by amplifying their voices. I know it always sounds very hard, but it's baby steps. Really, start from somewhere. Start by really raising awareness amongst other people, by also showing the international community that Afghans really don't want to live like this and are not accepting this. Whatever, even if they recognize the Taliban as government, Afghans won't do that. And it will only create even more hardship for everyone involved. So the international community needs to rethink their approach by supporting the Afghan citizens and not just puppets, warlords, or like one single person, because Afghans are diverse. Afghans have different experiences. The
Afghan activist collective, we are first and second generation Afghans. Each one of us has a different experience and a different story related to Afghanistan. So, sorry, I don't... Two questions, but maybe we can have both of these questions side by side, and then we can just quickly have like okay, 1 minute to answer.
thank you very much for your intervention and your theater and all the stuff. Thank you very much. I think the story of the war is made of this intervention of United States and like the Western countries, and behind is almost always it's always economical reasons, like resources that that makes that all this Europe continue to exist with this safety and like this comfort, and like of course that somebody needs to give money to the Taliban so that they could still have these resources. Like if I'm like I know that for example Iran and there are other countries that like are engaged like in this militarization of the Taliban, but there is like a way that we could boycott in the economical way to, or maybe come over to know the if Europe behind this scene have some kind of external financement for the Taliban. So maybe it could be a way, like an economical boycott.
Maybe, yeah. Like, so this is already good. Like, think about ways to engage yourself, how to do that. But the second question, comment, maybe? Really quickly. I know we're past time, but just 1 minute.
Hi, thank you for all this, the talk and everything. First of all, I would just want to say, like, from the Baloch community, my solidarity is 100% with Afghan and Afghan women and all the queer folks. And secondly, there was a question which, for me, it was critical because the person said, like, we don't have a hope. But you are coming from there, from Afghanistan, you're facing everything, and you still say we have a hope. And I mean, like here, we are sitting here. We see this when we come, we talk to about international community, humanitarian aids in Afghanistan and everything. We see that still where we are sitting here, there is Eurocentric perspective about humanitarian and the whitewashed guilt inside the questions we're having. I think I just wanted to be critical about this because there is like direct solidarity, like the people over here from Afghanistan, they're talking, they're sharing their stories, they're sharing all the what's happening to them, there is in media and everything. What you can do basically, directly in those collective, you can just give the aid, you can give your solidarity, you can do whatever you can do. But my question would be that back going there in our regions, like Balochistan, Afghanistan, Hazara communities, Sindhis, all this region. How you think in this era of like all this machoism, Afghan macho and Pakistani machos and all this patriarchal concept and norms, what's happening, how we can build up networking and solidarity in exile and also in the ground?
I think the first important point I would like to mention is understanding. Of course, we have a very brutal history and very bad in terms of being victims of all these kind of situations. So I think understanding each other in unity is, I think, the main key, in my opinion. I think we should have to be not the victim of the conspiracy theories. We should not have to be the victim of like what the governments tell us. I think we should have to come together, understand each other, tolerate each other, and then that's how I think we can bring a change. This is my simple answer.
From my side, I can just say in one sentence, last generation
still they are alive and they are saying like how to bring a fight or how to like make war in one country. Let's new generation, we stay together and we talk about how to bring peace in one country. That's all. Let's like not think like a last generation, or not like a think like a past people. Let's think like a in the like a future, like now, like how to bring peace, how to be a human, not to kill the people. Like they are thinking like let's kill the people or let's bring one war in the one country. Then we become rich or like have a more powerful in the world. No, all of us human. It's like this cheer is just for one day or one year or 10 years just for you. And then you just sit down like in the house and just sitting for one person to come and help you. But you, for this time, you just make for like a 100 years, you make time bad for the young generation, like, you know?
Thank you so much. I think that's a very good end of the discussion. Invest in the Afghan future, in the children, the new generation, because they have not lost their hope yet. So, inshallah, they will never. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Again, this was the Afghan Activist Collective. They're based mostly in Berlin. Follow them on Instagram. And if you have any other questions, you can also find us here. So have a good time. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for Fusion for inviting us. Sorry. Thank you so much. I'm really sorry.